It's kind of surreal that rugby is a career still. I always just played because I loved rugby. And I think that's such a huge part of instilling into young people nowadays is that play rugby because you want to have fun and enjoy it. If you want it as a career, I think that's the wrong way to go about it. You're listening to the England Rugby Podcast, O2 Inside Line. I'm Maud Muir. I'm Maud Muir and I play for Gloucester Hartbury in England Rugby. I play tight head, prop. I used to play both loose head and hooker, but this season I'm focusing on tight head. Tight head's kind of the base of the scrum, basically scrummage, do ball carries, contact. Yeah, brute force is kind of my thing. Your first job is to win the scrum. If you are good open play but can't scrummage, you're not really a good prop. So that's kind of what I base my, like if I've had a good game, it's because I've scrummaged well and the open play comes next. It's not the other way around. You need to be powerful. You need to have collision dominance. You need to be strong. You need to be lifting heavy in the gym and then it translates into games. I grew up with a very open family. I could just go around playing the whole time. I always had fun, was quite a funny kid. And I think that's kind of translated into me growing up. I just want to make people laugh. I don't take life too seriously and just kind of want to have a bit of fun and enjoy myself whilst playing rugby at a high level. My parents are kind of very chill. I have two older siblings who kind of, you know, made me rough and tumble or whatever that phrase is. I don't think they were too strict. I was able to do kind of what I wanted. I didn't want to do crazy things, but I think being not let loose, but being able to do whatever I wanted. Yeah, it's kind of made me who I am. I grew up in Oxford. Oxford's a lovely place. I'm such a homebody. I love being at home. I lived with my brother Arthur and my sister Molly and our cats. We've had a few throughout the years. My first experience of rugby was probably I would go down and watch my brother and sister play at Oxford Harlequins, which was just my local club. And because my brother played, I really wanted to. And kind of since the age of five, I've always played rugby. I played with the boys. I was the only girl. Wore a bright pink scrum cap, which obviously I think people kind of knew who I was on other teams in Oxfordshire. It made me feel quite smug. But yeah, the parents of that team, they honestly loved me and like they were so supportive. And I think they raised their boys to, you know, give me the ball. I think I've heard a lot of stories about girls in boys' teams not ever being passed the ball, but that completely wasn't the case for my team, which was quite a cool experience. It's a very personal experience, I think. You can ask all the different girls on the team at the minute. And I think every single person has an individual journey and like had a different experience. I think some people definitely had trouble in the boys team and you didn't get past the ball or stuff like that. But I think it was quite a positive journey for me. And I definitely am very grateful for the team that I was in, that boys team, because I think it made me feel more confident going into any team. And it definitely made me, you know, express myself. I think I liked rugby because I was good at it. And I think that's one thing when you're good at something, you want to keep doing it. But also I think the friendships I made and I continue to have made definitely made me fall in love with rugby. And I think the physical attributes, it suits me quite well, like collision and running through contact and leg drive, that sort of thing. I think it, like I played netball and cricket, but I was always a bit aggressive for that. And I wasn't very good at it either. So rugby is just kind of the sport that actually is perfect for me, personality-wise and also physically. Obviously started off with the boys team at Oxford Harlequins, moved to Gosford All Blacks, under-18s, under-15s, got picked up for county, so Oxfordshire. And then I trialled for South West, but didn't get in. At that time, I thought my world had ended. I didn't get into South West Regional. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I can even continue rugby. But then literally got picked up the next year and then kind of moved to Wasps when I went to uni. And I kind of just progressed from there. And when I first came into England camp, I was travelling reserve for a whole campaign and I thought I was possibly going to play at the end game, but I didn't end up playing, but I actually really enjoyed it. And I think the girls that were there really enjoyed my company because I just tried to make it all positive and try and help the team best as I can. And because I hadn't actually played, I didn't know what I was missing really. So yeah.
My name's Arthur Muir. I'm Maud's older brother. I can remember having her playing in goal and me taking free kicks at her. And even from then, you could tell that she was going to be a good catcher of a ball. Maud's personality is very different on and off the pitch. She's a very calm and caring individual off the pitch. And she is also very caring on the pitch, but that tough side really shines through when you see her playing and smashing into tackles and running, carrying with the ball. She really is a different beast. The family take a really keen interest in Maud's rugby internationally. We all went along to her debut game against New Zealand. It was a super proud moment for all of us. I think we're all in tears at the moment when she came on, and the first act was to win a scrum against the New Zealanders, which was pretty impressive. And I think the tears carried on flowing at that moment. We've travelled far to go and watch her, and it's always a very proud moment to watch her play. The thing that makes me the most proud to be the brother of Maud is that hard work, determination and resilience that she has. She's had knockbacks with injuries over the time and always picks herself up and goes again.
Club culture is such an important part of a team for me. I think I've always been in a team where there's a great culture and, you know, we're singing and dancing before a game and just having fun off the pitch so that you have fun on the pitch. I think that's a big, big thing for me. And I love hanging out with my teammates all the time off the pitch as well. It's just such a big thing. And I think it really does help a team succeed when they've got good relationship off the pitch. Playing and going through hard times on the pitch with teammates makes such a big difference, and it grows you as a player and a person and the whole team together. But also off pitch, you can make so many bonds, and I think that's such a big thing. And I think not forced fun, I think that's such a big thing as well. And just hanging out because you actually want to hang out with your teammates rather than you have to go and do certain things because the coaches have said. I think when it's not forced, that's when the biggest benefits come out of it. It is definitely difficult having both full-time and part-time players at the minute, especially at club level. Because we're in the day as full-time players, you forget that the part-timers have not heard all of the information, which is really tricky. On top of that, they've probably had to work a really long, hard day. So it is really difficult to find that balance of, you know, how much information to give and to learn. But also at the same time, you know, the full-timers need to progress, and it's kind of trying to find that balance. It is important, though, that collab together. I think at Gloucester, we all stay for the gym session after the session and you don't leave until everyone's finished. I think that's a big thing, just to stay connected and work together as a team and show that, like, no matter if you've been in since 12 or come in at 5, you're still all together. And I think that's a really important part. So I actually live with 5 other teammates that play at Gloucester Hartbury. Yeah, it's quite a house full. We always have people round. Sarah Beckett actually lives 5-minute walk away. We always have a full house, let's just say that, especially around dinner time. It is a lot of people, but it is always busy and I really like people, so yeah. When there is a bad thing that happens, like in training, we obviously all can debrief, and probably sometimes we snowball the effect and it makes it into a much bigger issue than it actually is. Whereas, like, if you actually take a step out, you realise, oh, it's not actually that big of a deal. So sometimes that does happen, but also it means that we get other opinions and, you know, we can talk about it and then say, look, that's it. We're going to have a normal dinner now. We don't talk about rugby, sort of thing. Being able to, like, chat to people that have been through it. I'd always chat to Mo, and she's obviously had an amazing career, but she's been through so many hardships which have built her into the player and person that she is now. She always brings me back to reality and puts things into perspective, but is also very realistic. Like, if I need to go and talk to someone, she'll be like, come on, you need to build yourself up and be able to do it. And I think I really appreciate Mo for that, because she has helped me through difficult times in her life. And I'd like to think that sometimes I've helped her as well.
My name is Mo Hunt, and I'm going to say one of Wardy's besties. I'm going to throw it out there. Probably the first time we got close was a couple of years ago, Six Nations. We've just been like super tight since then. I think she's an unbelievable human, brings light to any room that she's in. Kind of friendship has blossomed since then. And obviously since she's come to Gloucester, it's just kind of gone from strength to strength, really. She's one of these athletes that just carries so hard, hits people so hard, and always has an eye for a gap. I think for me, Maudie definitely galvanises a team. Like, she understands when she can be sassy and when she needs to rein it in and put an arm around. And I just love how much she understands people and how much she pushes people to be better and get the best out of them, but also how thoughtful she is and how much she can bring that room together. Like, before some Gloucester Heartbreak games, she makes me play this song called The Muffin Man, and she just goes around and belly dances and throws these muffins out. Honestly, it's just little things like that. So many people wouldn't do that. Like, they genuinely would not put themselves in that situation or make a joke out of themselves or be able to not take themselves so seriously just before we're about to go out and play like a really heated game. To be in the same team as her and to have her as part of a culture that we do at both Red Roses and England, I think she's a super special human to have around. For me, Maud has such a bright future ahead of her. The world's her oyster. Like, she's super young. She's one of the most powerful athletes. The way that she plays the game, the way she runs into people, her ability, her scanning, the knowledge that she has of the game, her scrummaging, everything around what she does, her work around the park. Like, there's so much room for growth, which is a scary, scary prospect when you see how good she is already.
I've kind of always been quite creative, just to have that thing outside of rugby. I've always wanted to do something that isn't just rugby, rugby, rugby. And I have other things, like, you know, I like taking pictures, like making little videos and watching them back. And I kind of do all of this stuff because I like looking back at memories, and having those videos means that I can look back and be like, oh, I actually did so much, not just on the rugby pitch. I think that's really important especially as a female rugby player, to have other things. So I was probably inspired by Ellie Kildan to take photos. She inspired me to get a camera similar to hers. And then I just post them on my Instagram, which is Maud's Eye View, just so that I can look back on, but also so that other people can see. I do like other things as well. I like any crafty bits and bobs. I think it just takes my mind off rugby, and I really do focus on rugby so much that it just means that I can think about literally nothing and just, you know, stitching a little bookmark or whatever it is, I can just focus on that and I don't need to think, wow, that mistake I made 2 weeks ago is really gonna affect me, because in reality, it really doesn't matter. When I first came into camp, 3 or so years ago, I wasn't playing, and I definitely think because I wasn't playing, I wanted something to remember all these memories by, because there's nothing to show for on like video analysis or, you know, scores, because I'm not playing. But so many memories were made off the pitch, so to be able to look back and think, you know, I've actually done something in that camp time. I mean, I know myself that I have, but to look back and realise there was so many things that I did. Plus, I actually really like editing videos and putting sounds together to make it like look cool. I feel like I've achieved something when I have a really cool edit on a video. I mean, I'm not the best, but I think having that little thing that I've achieved can make all the difference. I've always liked being in front of a camera, but being behind it as well, being able to capture other people's emotions, I think is so cool to look back on and see how other people experience things, and having memories of other people, like their first cap or the changing room after winning the Prem. That is so cool to look back on. And I think I'm just glad I captured those moments.
see the white shirts just flooding and straight over goes Maud Muir.
I'm Megan Jones and I play for Leicester Tigers and the Red Roses. Maud Muir on the pitch, powerful and relentless. Off the pitch, kind, empathetic, good listener.
I'm Zoe Oldcroft and I play for Gloucester, Hartbury and England. Maud Muir off the pitch, obviously I'm quite close to her because she's at Gloucester, Hartbury. She's also a very funny character, but she's very blunt. She tells you how it is. Very crafty. She's always doing little arts and crafts and stuff, making little bits. And then on the field, she's just an absolute battering ram. She just barges for everyone, scrums well. And yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with.
And then for Muir, who will cross over. Gloucester Hartbury to Gloucester Hartbury as club captain plays to Maud Muir to score her second try in an England shirt.
In 2019, I went to Brunel Uni. I was at Wasps at the time, and then Wasps was kind of linked with Brunel. So I kind of was able to go, and they were very supportive of me, going to training and catching up on lectures and stuff. And then COVID struck, and I kind of, for I'd say probably 2.5 years of my uni experience, was online, which actually was quite beneficial for me because it meant that I could do lectures online wherever. I didn't actually have to be in uni, and it meant that I could go and live with housemates and didn't have to live in halls. I had a few like issues with halls because obviously COVID and uni was quite a bad mix. So being able to go and live with teammates that helped me out and be able to play alongside learning was very beneficial for me, actually. I know it didn't affect all people well, but it kind of helped me be able to balance both education and rugby. I don't really like drinking often and going out every night and staying up late. That wasn't really what I liked doing at the time anyway. So it actually was quite a good excuse being like, oh, COVID's happening or whatever. I need to go to training. I have to be careful. I kind of always wanted a degree, didn't really know what it was in. I wanted to actually be a teacher, primary school teacher, either something to do with sport or kids. So doing sports science kind of covered all bases. And then if I wasn't contracted with rugby, I would have done a PGCE or maybe like a coaching degree. I didn't really know 100% what I wanted to do, but having that degree straight away, it just means that you've got that. And I don't need to go back to university now if I was, you know, not playing rugby anymore. I've got that in the bank. And I kind of wanted to just do it when I first was out of school, just to have it. And it was good to do alongside rugby at the time anyway. It's kind of surreal that rugby is a career still. When I was 5 years old, I didn't even know playing for rugby for England was a thing, let alone women's rugby. I always just played because I loved rugby. And I think that's such a huge part of instilling into young people nowadays, is that play rugby because you want to have fun and enjoy it. If you want it as a career, I think that's the wrong way to go about it when you're young. I think enjoyment first, and then if you're good enough, if you enjoy it, if you're playing well, the career will come. I think it's really important that that isn't lost as we move more into a professional women's rugby career. To be able to do something that you love as a career is insane, and playing in front of amazing crowds is even like more a sense of achievement. But then also being able to inspire young kids to do the game I love, that's incredible. And I think I just want everyone to experience rugby the way I experienced it when I was young. I think I've just always been quite a positive person. I've always wanted to make people smile and make people happy and make people laugh. I don't really like to take myself too seriously, so I'm always cracking a joke that's probably not actually funny, but being able to see people's reactions, and if that's that one thing is me making them laugh and that's their one thing that they do that day that makes them happy, that creates such a big thing for me. And I just want everyone to realise that life's too short to not be happy, basically. I think I feel a lot. So when other people are sad, I feel sad. And when other people are happy, I feel happy, which is a good thing, but also a bad thing because I can't always affect myself when someone else is upset. I was pretty lucky when I was younger, when I played with the boys. I didn't really hear negative comments about me. Whether I heard them or whether they're saying them, I don't actually know. But the fact I didn't hear them obviously was a good thing. But as I got older, I think that's when comments did start arising. Like in sick form, I can remember a boy just called me fat out of nowhere. I was old enough to realise, what does it actually matter? They actually have no idea what I'm going through. They don't know that I'm actually training as a professional athlete. They don't know anything about me. So I actually think that when I was, like, the comments that came about came when I was older was actually better for me because I knew that they didn't mean anything. Because if I was younger, I might have been like, actually, I am fat, and I would have bottled it up for the future. Having a bit more experience and realizing that it didn't actually mean anything was helpful for me. I'm a pretty body confident person. Like before a game at Gloucester, I'll do like belly dancing basically, or, you know, I don't really mind getting my body out. I'm really comfortable in my body. And I think the younger people, especially at Gloucester, seeing that I'm okay with my body and, you know, it's okay to be a bit bigger. It makes you strong and means that you're strong and you can do your job around the field. I think the young people that see that, if it's normalized, basically they'll accept it and they won't think it's an issue. I've always thought that I was bigger, but it didn't really affect me too much. And I think it's something that you learn over the years. Unfortunately, like you learn it for experience that it's okay to be a bit bigger. Like it actually doesn't matter. You know, keyboard warriors or whatever will say stuff, but they're insignificant really. And it really doesn't matter what they think or what anyone thinks. Yeah, I've always kind of been interested in coaching young girls. I've coached a local club, Maidenhead. I'm currently coaching at Gloucester Hartbury. I'm the scrum coach, which I'm really enjoying. I think it's really cool to see that they're similar age to me, so I can affect their career. I think they also like being able to chat to me because I'm a bit more normal. I'm not, you know, some coach that's come in and they're really daunted by them because I'm literally like basically their age and I'm in a similar position to them, but a few steps ahead. And they can see that, you know, it's not that far away playing at the top level. And I think that's really important for them to be able to see that it's a normal thing playing rugby for England and it's really achievable. Coaching for me is just, I can give back and I can, you know, even if one person picks up a rugby ball for the first time or gets better at a different skill because of me, it just means that I feel like I've contributed even something little to their career. Coming up next on the England Rugby Podcast, O2 Inside Line.
I used to be in a team talk and I'd probably be saying things that I don't really mean or that I haven't quite intended to say. It hasn't come out sort of right just because I haven't thought of it. Leading is something that you're never fully perfect at.